kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have as usual a title here, The Light of the World or The Light of Heaven. The Light of the World or The Light of Heaven. That's what we're going to discuss today. There's much around today and many are claiming that they have light. They have light on a situation, light on a subject, and indeed they may well have. But there is only one light that we have to consider, and that is the light of God, the light of the kingdom of God. And we are the children of light, and we have to walk in that light. And I really want us to look at this today and consider this in the light of Scripture and what God is doing in our lives, but above all in the church as well. But we are seeing, aren't we, in these closing times, the lack of the power of the Holy Spirit in contemporary church and Christianity, which sadly is reflecting the light of the world and not the light of the kingdom of God. You see, it has lost its effectiveness, just like salt can appear to be salt, but it's lost its flavour. It's not effective, and therefore, as the scriptures tell us, it's of no use. Therefore, throw it away and let it be trodden under the feet of men. We also know, don't we, in 2 Timothy 3:5, which it says that having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You see, we cannot have godly lives unless we are experiencing the power of God. And this is why I make so much of this, brothers and sisters, because through the power of the baptism of the Spirit, the power of God is working this within us. It can't be achieved otherwise. And so we have to consider, what light am I reflecting? That is the question. Because as I've said, much of the church today is only reflecting the light of the world. Why the world? Because it's so much in the world and relies upon the world and its ways. And if we are ever to reflect light, God's light, then it can only come from heaven and not from the world. Now, Jesus called himself the light of the world, and his disciples are to be that also. And let us turn now to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Here it's in the context of the Beatitudes. And here he says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." That is what he says. You are the light of the world, not the church, not some organization or denomination. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So he's speaking in the sense of a city or a town. So we get that idea that not only are you to be a light, but all those that you fellowship and are with and gather together. So our Lord makes it absolutely clear. And let's also couple that with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. And he says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So we're beginning to understand, are we not, what the Word of God says that we should be. You see, sadly, that light is not seen today because a lot of professing Christians are worldly, they're spiritually shallow, and instead they're reflecting the light of the world instead of being the light to the world. I give that to you again. Reflecting the light of the world instead of being the light to the world. And there is the difference. And so the body of Christ, the overcomers, this remnant that God is restoring and bringing back under the fivefold ministry, maturing and perfecting us, we are light to the world. And there is the difference. We're not reflecting the world, its light, which is a counterfeit, but we're reflecting the light that comes from above to the world. Now, there are several areas that I want to reveal in Scripture regarding the position of God's light to the world. And the position of this light, as we've seen and shown you already, is set on a lampstand for all to see. Now, the purpose of this light is that the world will know who you are, what we are, and where we come from. But sadly, much of the light reflected from the church is involved in politics, strife, social issues, humanitarian interests. They're involved in welfare projects, community activities, all in the name of religion. You see, the church wasn't called to be an organization set in its community, but to be a lighthouse set on a hill. Too often today, Christianity in the church is part of the community or the town life or village life, which is set down in the sinful valley. It's not that lampstand. It's set in a valley where sin is. It's to be set upon a hill, and this light should be drawing the lost. And what does a lighthouse do? It exposes the rocks, the danger. And it should be bringing those ships into safety. That is what that light should be doing. And in other words, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Now, this can only be achieved, brothers and sisters, by the power of the Spirit of God. And I know that this is all being restored in this time of restoration. This is ultimately what God is working again amongst the believers in the true body of Christ. That is what he's doing. So, we let God work this light, his light, in and through us. We can't do this. This is something that is supernatural, that is given to us through our consecrated lives and our fellowship and our commitment to him and each other and to prayer and the word. This can only be achieved. So that's the first position of this light that we're talking about. And the second area that I want for us to consider is the nature of light. What is the nature of light? Well, we get it, don't we? Right at the beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, there is where light is clearly explained in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. What is the first thing that he's creating and speaking into being? It's light. Because without it, you cannot see. You see, light will always penetrate the darkness and reveal what there is. So there is darkness, but we need light in which to penetrate, to reveal, to be able to see. You see, darkness can never dispel the light when it shines. Did you know that? There may be darkness, but when light shines, it can never dispel the light. And this is why the powers of darkness try to attack the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why the powers of darkness try to attack the Christian church, because this is the true light. This world, which at the moment Satan is the god of this world, it is a counterfeit light. It is not true light. It's really darkness. But of course, we've seen that God is always one step ahead, which we've just read to you back in Genesis 1, verses 2 to 5. Now, how did God deal with this? Well, we know this very well, don't we? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 5. John 1 and verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And of course, we know who that light is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, it will always penetrate the darkness and reveal what there is to be seen. So Jesus coming into the world penetrated the darkness so that we can what? See what God is doing. This is why you have to be a new creation, your eyes and ears open, a new heart that he puts within you for the purpose of being able to see what God is doing. And that's why he opens our eyes to the gospel, to the word of God. Are we beginning now to see the nature of this light and its purpose? You see, the light in a disciple helps dispel spiritual darkness in the world. Wherever he or she goes, whether it's at work or at home with our families, or we go shopping, whatever we are doing, it will penetrate the darkness and glorify God. That is the light of the new birth. That is the light that he puts in us. Now, you may not be aware of that. God occasionally will give you a glimpse or just an understanding of his light that he's placed in you. But a lot of the time, you don't always see it. But God reveals that light in and through us. And that's the miracle of it. Let's go back to Matthew 5 and verse 16, We read verse 15. Now let's look at verse 16. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So that light is there. And we have, through our faith, our obedience, our consecration before him, that light will reveal what are good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And those good works, of course, are our love, pursuing peace, what comes out of our mouth, how we live, how we treat one another, and so on, and how we look after one another, and you can just go on. That's the light that shines forth, the true light. We again see this in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So who is the light? The Lord. And he says, you are light. Walk as children of light. So it's not our light. It's light that is in him. His light shines through us because it's so great. He is the light of the world. You see, sadly, too many hide their light under a bushel, neglecting to tell of God's provisions, blessings and healings in our lives. These are our testimonies that we should at times share, and we shouldn't be afraid to be able to tell what God has done when the opportunity arises. That again is what glorifies our Lord. So there we are. There is the nature of light that banishes darkness. Well, then the third point with regard to this light, and the purpose of this light is to shine to mankind that they may see your good works. Now, we've already read that back in Matthew 16. It's that light that shines. So that light that lives within us through the new birth, that is to shine in this world of darkness. And as I said, God knows how to shine his light in and through you. That's why we make so much about trusting and obeying God. When you do it God's way, when we get out of the way and we allow him to work, what is he doing? He is shining. He is glorifying his name. He's using you as a witness, a light in this world of darkness. This is why we make so much of this, because the world sees it. You may not be aware of it, but the world sees it. And that's why our trials and tribulations that we go through can be so powerful, because the world is seeing that you are standing through the trials and temptations. The world sees that you are suffering. Yes, you're going through it. And they say to themselves, how's that person standing? How is it that they're not running always to the doctor or to the psychiatrist, or running always to the pills, or whatever it would be, like the world does? This is why it's such a testimony, because it's about this light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that very light that God spoke right back there in Genesis 1. That is the same light that is working through the church and through you and me. No wonder the devil wants to try and put it out, because it exposes him and the powers of darkness. This is why I say so often in our prayers and our intercessions and warfare in particular, you pray that the powers of darkness may be seen. Bring it out, Lord, into your light. Expose these demonic forces that the world politicians will see. That's the mercy of God. That was somebody praying over you and I, that God would reveal his light to us, that he would open our ears and eyes and heart. Thank God he answered those prayers. So that is the purpose of this light, to shine, so that the world, by seeing your righteous works, your love, your devotion to God, may glorify him. You see, the world will care little for what we say if it's out of harmony and inconsistent to God's standard, which sadly a lot of Christendom is. And that's why so many will say, I'm not going to church, there's nothing but a load of hypocrites in it. My grandmother used to say that. Don't talk to me about Christians. I've seen enough hypocrisy in the church that can put people off. That was sadly her experience. And it's many people's experience. And see, the only way God can dispel that and come against that is that we understand the purpose of this light, that it is to shine out to mankind that he may see. Again, I go back and remind us of a light set on a hill, a lampstand. Because otherwise the world will not see it. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of truth that the world speaks out in the world. You actually just can't say anything because it's actually true. But our faith doesn't lie in what the world says. Our faith lies in the Lord, and that he is the light of the world. And his light is all powerful and shines and will shine. This is why it's not wrong, brothers and sisters, in your prayers, that God will use you as a light in this world. And in his mercy and grace, you ask him never to put that light out in you, even when you go through trials and testings and tribulations. Because the enemy is trying to put that light out in you, in whatever way he can. And he's very subtle and very clever. But thank God he's always one step ahead. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And fourthly, with this question of what we're talking about, the light of the world or the light of heaven. And fourthly and finally, only commitment and faithfulness to God and his word will provide the fuel for this light. That is its fueling. Now, light that we understand in the world needs energy, needs fuel. And so our spiritual fueling is God's provision through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for he is the light. He has come into your heart, my heart, baptizing us with light, with fire. This is why I say, as I close with this, it is only going to take the power of the Holy Spirit in these last days, which is being restored again back to the body of Christ, will the world begin to understand and see this light. I'm reminded of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. What is that all about? Well, it's about light. 10 of them have their lamps, but 5 of them have become wise because they have taken extra oil with them in their vessels, because they are aware of light. They know that this light you've got to see. And the more you experience this light, the more you want of it. And how we need light now in these last days that we are walking. For many are going asleep, and we're going to see in Christendom five going to sleep and five that will keep awake because they've taken this light seriously. They take the word of God seriously. They take their prayer life seriously. And so they're the ones that will go forth ready, ready for when the bridegroom comes, which speaks of the rapture of the church. You see, the rapture of the church, those that go up, the wise virgins, are those who have paid the price to get that vessel, that extra oil, the oil of anointing. It's an oil of preparation. This is why we hold to the deeper life in the Spirit. This is why we know that faith comes by reading, hearing this word. We have to be prepared in these last days as those wise virgins walking in the light as he is light. It is so easy to start to walk away from this light, and you start to become accustomed to a different light, a counterfeit light. It's not the same light. Remember, Satan comes like an angel of light. That is how he comes. And so we need to walk so closely now with the Lord, because he always counterfeits what God does. But the good news of the gospel is that the Lord is always one step ahead. And that's why we keep our eyes on him and him alone. And we have to do what he says. We have to yield to the Spirit. We're not to fight against him. That is why he works in us both to will do for his good pleasure. And his good pleasure is that we are the light in this world, set on a lampstand for others to see. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. I know it's a simple message I'm giving today, but the Lord's given it as it is, the light of the world or the light of heaven. You decide what light you want working through you. But if you have the light that comes from heaven, then you will be able to show others the way into the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you again for this message. Thank you, Lord, you are the light of the world, and you have placed your light within us. Father, may this light never go out. Lord, help us, keep us close to you, walking with you by faith and not by sight, trusting in you and not the arm of the flesh. Whatever you are saying or requiring or wanting of us, Lord, that we don't argue or question, but just move by faith, that simple childlike faith, Lord. Father, we thank you that you first loved us and that you caused your light to shine in darkness in our hearts that were once hard and stony. But you have changed them into flesh by the light of your word.
Let him in constancy follow the heart.
cradled in the love of Jesus.